Just have been down a little bit lower, couldn't I? Anyway, praise God. Now we know, don't we, that there are certain natural laws in place. God has put them in place. When he created the world, he put gravity into place. No matter what you do, if you're going to drop something, it's going to fall to the ground, isn't it? It'll fall to the ground because that's a law. And it'll never change as long as there is the earth. And just as there are those physical laws that cannot be changed because they're put there by God, God has put spiritual laws into place. And so we're going to have a little look at some of the spiritual laws. And I have to say, the law of praise was established before the world began, not for God's benefit. He's going to answer, you know, he's going to be victorious whether we praise or not, because that's who he is. It's for our benefit. And so I want to have a little look at this whole thing of praising, because the thing we'll get to see, I hope, that praise is actually the rocket fuel that establishes victory. If you go to a football match, a rugby match, or any other match, the winning side is very vociferous. The winning side is making a noise. You will never go to any large gathering, large sporting event, and the winning side are silent, right? I mean, that just never happens, does it? But who is silent? The losing side. They just are downtrodden and they're silent. But the winning side just lets rip. And there is a spiritual law that says that we call those things that are not as if they are. That is a law, okay? And if you don't obey that law, you won't see the victory of what that law undergirds. We call into being things that are not as if they were. So we don't see them. We don't hear them, we don't feel them, but they are. And so we call these things into being. So if you're in a position, regardless of the battle or how tough it is, and we know some battles can get really tough, you get the bullets of God's word and you send them out. You send them out. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter if you wake up feeling really down. What's that got to do with it? God's word remains the same, doesn't it? You send out the word, the bullets of his word, and you send it out in a strategic way. That rhema word that God has deposited in you, he's given you a promise, he's given you a word, you send it out. Not just in your head, although in your head, but verbally. You send it out verbally because there's power in the spoken word. And the word of God says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Okay, no weapon formed against you will prosper. That's what it says. And so whatever your battle is, you can say with confidence, this weapon is not going to prosper. It's not. No matter how long it takes, it will not prosper. And then you can begin to praise God in the middle of the time that you think you're losing. When you see nothing moving, you see nothing changing. In fact, I have to tell you, it'll look worse. But you send out the word. You send out the word. And that's the law of praise. You see, the devil's very crafty. He knows that if he can only get you to praise when you're here on a Sunday, well, that means 6 days a week, he's winning. You can have a praise time all on your own. And I suggest that you do that very thing, actually. When we understand that praise creates a force field around us that makes us to be invincible to defeat. I want to say that again. You see, we tend to think the word defeat, well, you know, part of life. Well, I have to say no, actually. We're not born for defeat. We're born for victory. So there's a very powerful word in Proverbs 27, 21. And I'm quoting this from the Amplified. It's not quite as wordy in the New King James or in others, as far as I know, but in the Amplified, it carries a nice sound to it. It says this: as the refining pot is to silver and the furnace is to gold, so let a man be in his trial of praise, ridding himself of all that is base or insincere. For a man is judged by what he praises and what he boasts. That's quite some word, that. So we know that a refining pot and also a furnace is very hot, isn't it? It's hot, and the metal that goes into it is heated and heated and heated. And during the heating process, all the dross rises up to the top, and then it's skimmed off, and it's heated more, and the dross is skimmed off until it's left as a pure metal, either silver or gold. So let's put that another way. When things get hot around you and you're in the middle of a heavy trial or a battle or a war, what happens is that you start to get agitated and you start to speak about your agitation, and you'll start to think about your agitation, and you'll start to tell your friend, and you'll start to tell your, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord about your agitation. This is the situation. And most people will say, well, how can this happen? You know, how can this happen to me? This is terrible. And you speak about it, and you speak about it, and you fill in all the little details, and you speak more and more. So it's a tendency of most people to do that. But we know that for every action, there's a reverse action, isn't there? So when you understand that the devil knows that if he can get you to sound like the problem, then he can keep you in the problem. There's a legal right, actually. If you keep speaking and agreeing with the enemy, then he has a legal right to keep you there. So you know what the answer is, don't you? You know, we get these little video clips on YouTube or something. You know, you get those little, they've got a name, I can't remember what the name is, but you know, if you click on it, it'll give you a little scenario of some little thing, just a minute or so, and it'll play, you know, something that happens with a dog or whatever. I mean, these people put them on these various things, and it'll play. And if you don't stop it, it'll just keep looping. It loops around, and until you stop it, it'll just keep playing. And that's exactly what happens when we get our eyes off God, when we're in the middle of a war, the loop starts, and we just keep speaking the negative. We keep agreeing with what the enemy is doing because we're repeating it. We're saying it, and it keeps going round and round and round. And that is the very time that we have to position ourselves well and align ourselves with the Word of God. It's the Word that brings victory, not the way I feel, not a very good prayer that comes from my soul. That doesn't bring victory. The Word brings victory, the Word of God. Proverbs 27:21 says that the heart brings all the impurities to the top, and the temptation is to speak out the angst, the fear, the problem, etc. But that very scripture also gives a solution. When your faith is put under trial, that means everything's going wrong. Everything is not as it should be, and the heat is being turned up. What we want is not the dross that comes out of us, but the gold, and only the Word of God is gold. Nothing from our own souls cuts it. It's only the Word of God. And also that agrees with Psalm 12, verse 6. The words and promises of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified seven times over. And that's the complete. Seven is the complete number. So the Word of God is the perfect word. The word that's not going to return to him void, but is going to accomplish the purpose for which he sends it through you. And also, we are judged by what we praise and what we boast. We are judged by by what we praise and what we boast. So we all go through trials, don't we? There's not one of us is exempt from the trials of this world. But when you make Jesus your Savior, your God, you get a license that enables you to rise above all the problems of the world. And I say all the problems. I'm not saying some of them. It's all of them. I remember coming along the road there to where the cafe is sometime this year. I think it could have been the 1st of April. I'm not sure. Anyway, I was trying to park the car there to go to a meeting. I think it was a Forerunners meeting. There wasn't a single parking. Not only was there not a parking in that little space, there was nothing along the road. I looked, cars. Look, there are cars everywhere, cars down the side street. And I thought, what's going on? And I thought, that's weird. So I wound down my window and I said to, they were all men, by the way. I said, what are you all here for? And he said, oh, he said, you stupid woman. He said, well, it's the license, the fishing licenses are coming out today. And we have to have a license to go where we want to fish. So I thought, oh, jolly good. I thought, well, who knew, you know, so many people lining up to get a fishing license. But you see, that's the thing is, you see, you can get a license, can't you? They could have got a license. But if they didn't go out to the river or the lake, wherever, and actually fish, that license is useless. Isn't it? Pointless. If I have a driver's license, but I never get behind a car's wheel, well, that's pointless. If you have a license, you've got to use it, and then you get the benefit of it. And I have to say, it works the same way. We have been given a license, the Word of God. If we don't use it, it doesn't benefit us at all. We have to take it. We have to meditate on it. We have to believe it. We have to speak it and act on it. So what you meditate on is what you believe. That's the thing. So if you meditate on the circumstances and you speak about them, or what your eyes see or what your ears hear, then that is what you're going to believe. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt that what we fix our minds on, what we speak about, is what we actually believe. We may try and negate that a bit at sometimes, but actually that's what we believe. That is the bottom line. So if you meditate on God and His Word that He has given you, then that is what you'll believe. So we need to meditate on the Rhema Word of God. If we don't put a guard over what we see and what we hear and what we speak, and then we'll never ride on the high places of God. We won't. We become bound to the earth realm. And the only way you rise above it is by faith in God and by seeing yourself above and not below, the head and not the tail. We have to see ourselves in the victory. We have to let the God-given imagination see the solution to the problem. See it and speak it, and then God will bring it. You see, there's lots of people who have a relationship with Jesus, but they've actually given up. They've given up and they don't even know that they've given up. They've given up winning every time. Why should we only win some of the time? That's not God. God doesn't say that in His Word. The Word says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Not just on a Sunday. Possibly on a Friday if we're lucky. No, it's all the time. God has said, you are, all of us, to be victorious and to triumph all the time. That's His will. See, the thing is that the war is over the Word. That's where the battle is. So when we get a word, let's be surprised if our situation becomes worse or what we're praying for becomes worse, because the war is over the Word of God. So when you don't hear anything from the Lord when you've been praying and praying and praying, we just believe, because we know God's nature, that he's doing something. So when you don't get an answer, what does it mean? It means you haven't got an answer. It means that God hasn't finished yet. That's all it means. It just means you've got to wait. We had a wonderful discussion on early morning prayer some weeks ago. We'd listened to, I think it was Elevation music, and about waiting on God, waiting on God. And we, sorry? That's the one. That's what happens when you wait. You see, this is it, isn't it? When we're waiting on God, and you know, it could be a day, it could be a week, or a month, or years. Doesn't matter, does it? God isn't, he hasn't become deaf. His arm's not short that he can't save. He hasn't turned away and is preoccupied with somebody else's problem. He's just saying, wait, wait. But while you're waiting, this is what that song says, keep praising. That's scriptural. While you're waiting, you keep speaking out the word of God in worship and in praise. You send it out. You send it out. Otherwise, the alternative to that is that even if you don't realize it, you've actually given up. You've given up. And you've allowed the status quo to be. And God says, actually, that's not my will. My will is that you press forward. You go forward. So the war is over the word of God. So there are two things that are going on. First of all, the war is over the word of God in you. The enemy is warring. And God says, while you're waiting, he's going to be working some things into us. This is also what came out in our discussion. The number of times we've all had to wait and wait and wait. We haven't seen the answer yet, but we're praising God. We're looking to God. What is God doing? He's changing our hearts. There's something going on in our lives. We are slowly realizing some stuff that we just didn't know before. We are realizing that God is faithful and true. He's encouraging us with his words. He's strengthening us. He's enabling us, when we come through this particular battle victoriously, to be strengthened for another battle. Sorry to have to tell you that, but that's the truth, isn't it? We go from one trial to another, as it were. But all the time, Jesus is conforming us into his image. That's it, isn't it? We're being changed. We're being conformed. And the second thing is that it's about us. The enemy is after our faith. That's what it's about. The battle is over our faith. Do you believe God? Do you believe his word? Do you think he said what he actually said? Battle is there. So we've got to say, the Lord is true. The Lord is good. He is always faithful. In Isaiah 40, 31, and we know this so well, it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But then that indicates that you can faint. And we've all had times when we have fainted. But it doesn't mean to say that's the end of the line. It doesn't mean to say that's the end. We can pick ourselves up. We can confess our feebleness to God, and we can get back up again and keep going. So while we wait on the Lord, it's with faith. It's praising him. It's exalting him, declaring and decreeing his word. Waiting is not passive. We don't just sit there and, oh, well, you know. God said that, you know, 2 years ago, well, it'll come to pass in its time. Well, that's quite, that's good. Friends, that's no way to be. We are not ever meant to be passive. Faith is a very active thing. Believing is very active, because we're not just sitting down thinking, well, that's it. You know, it'll come in its good time. Oh, no, no, no. You certainly don't. You take the word of God and you start pushing. You start declaring, you start decreeing, and you don't give up until you see it come to pass, however long that is. And if it so happens that you go to your grave and you haven't seen it, you need to go to your grave believing. Believe God, because he is worthy of it. He is worthy of us having faith in him. So remember, praise is the rocket fuel for our triumph. And if we don't understand that, then we lose so much in the battle. You can't be depressed and remain depressed and praise God at the same time. It's not possible. You can't be down and praise him at the same time, because praise has a lifting ability. So when we realize we were actually born to win, all of us, we're born to win. We're not born to lose. We're not born to be the tail, to be underneath. We're born to be on top, going forward, praising God, declaring his word with faith. Why be meek and silent like the losing team? I don't think so. We are on the winning side, and let it be seen by the unseen spiritual realm that we are on the winning side, and we know it. So let's make a noise and be joyful and praise and declare God's word and his truth. The thing is, you see, praise is like the thrust in an aeroplane. Thrust is the power that creates lift. And I think the thing is that God's lift is God's, asserting God's law is the lift to every believer. If you don't use it, you can't be lifted up. A lot of Christians take off on, or try to take off on cruise power, and it can't be done. It can't be done. You will never take off. You have to know that you need to praise in your heart, in your mind, in your strength, in your will. You're focusing on God's word. You're focusing on him. And whenever the little niggling thought comes in, you say, no, this is what God has said. This is what he's promised. And you declare it. And you stand on that word. And you know that the word says no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Then you can just say, Lord, I want to give you praise because I know that I'm going to succeed. I know I'm going to win, because it says Jesus has overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. That's basically everything, isn't it? He's overcome it already. So anything that comes in the form of those things, we can stand against it. Say, no, this is not what God is willing in my life or in the lives of those I know. So we begin to see ourselves not as the problem, but by faith we see where God's word says we're going to end up in victory. We see it in victory. And we don't speak those words of defeat. No. I really can't say this enough. If you speak words of defeat, you come under them. So we have to be really mindful of, even when we're having a little conversation there or in our homes or on the phone, mindful of what you say, because you can't negate a prayer of power, and then a day later, you're negating it by words of unbelief. Now, some might say, but you're not facing the reality. But I'm saying, I am facing the reality. The reality is that God has already won the victory. That's real. What I see with my eyes, hear with my ears, is not the truth. The truth is God's word. It says, God, it says, your word is truth. And so we stand on the truth, the truth, the truth, and declare it. So let's just see. So we're going to end up in victory. We're going to be the head and not the tail. We're going to be in abundance and not lack. We're going to be in health and not sickness, in peace and unity and not in strife and disunity. And then I begin to sound like the solution to the problem. So this is the spiritual law. This is one of the foundations that will not be moved. Just as gravity is there, as long as the earth exists. So worshiping God, praising God, aligning ourselves with his word and believing it. Remember, it's the prayer of faith. Faith in who God is, faith in his word will bring victory. Faith in the cross that Jesus has made it all possible. That is what brings victory. And when we get weary, and we do, don't we? We do get weary sometimes, get weary of standing. We just have to come back to God and say, lift me up once more, Lord. I'm getting tired. Lift me up and let me focus once again on who you are, the reality of our God. God doesn't live in a world of fear or sickness or any of these things. That's our domain on this world. That's not where God is. He doesn't have any of that. So he wants to bring us so that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen.